GloucesterCast 207. 207. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in the room right now. With a baked pork and deer overload.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Yes. Damn. We got after it this morning. We've been preparing. Carryover from last week, Pat and Jimmy Dalpiaz brought the Speedy Marinade, which is native to upstate New York, Binghamton. Binghamton, New York. They have a Speedy Festival. It's this special sauce that they marinate chicken and meat and stuff, and they have a whole festival of that is, celebrates this Speedy sauce.
Wow. You can see why.
Two days ago, one of my lobstermen, Ian Fulford, brought it, said, "Would you like some deer meat?" He had a fresh kill in South End of Rockport, and I said, "Sure." And I originally was going to smoke it, but then I was thinking about venison. There's not a lot of fat in venison. It's very lean, and if you smoke for a long period of time, you take all that moisture out. So, okay, now another layer, our friends Craig Kimberly and Eric Lorden had this past week done some home-smoked bacon. The venison is lacking fat. The bacon is full of fat. Put that together, and we have a nice... And then the Speedy sauce, marinating, breaking down the meat in the deer.
That came out fantastic. We were saying how, yeah. I think I had venison once when I was a kid and I didn't remember it fondly, but that was like the best I've had.
Jeff liked it.
The best steak I've had. It's
great.
We're gonna do the. I skipped over the introductions. Jeff Beck is here, and Jeff Jeff worked when I was 9 years old. Jeff, how old are you now?
55.
So you're 6 years older than me. So I was 9, you were 15. When were you working here?
Mid-70s.
Yep, mid-70s. You were working here down the dock with my father, my grandfather, my uncle.
Right through college.
Hard worker. And he was like my grandfather's third adopted son. They loved Jeff and always spoke fondly of him because he had this unbelievable work ethic right from the get-go as a young guy, so Jeff is here. His wife Cindy Greeley Beck is here, Jerry Greeley's daughter. Very special people in town. Everybody knows the Greeley family. My boy Rich Bean, who moved here after finding Good Morning Gloucester. How many years ago?
Oh, geez, got to be 6 or 7. Right after it first started, I think.
He found the blog, and where were you living?
We were living in Medford, and we were talking about moving to Gloucester, and we were just researching, and luckily I found your website, and it just became this connection that we would follow, and we'd come up and visit every weekend, and just from the content on the blog, we find places to visit and people to meet.
And then you said you have to move here.
And that was it, yeah.
Yeah, and you moved here.
Really neat.
Yeah, best thing we ever did.
Ian Vincent is here, and he is plugging his show at the Rockport Art Association. We're going to get to that. Nice to see you, Ian.
Thank you, Joe.
Second time on the show, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Seventh time. How did you like the venison?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, yeah.
That was flavorful.
I've never had anything like that before.
I think the Speedy sauce had, marinate it in two days in that Speedy sauce had a little bit to do with it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And the bacon was just...
Put it over the top.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, right? So. Damn. Thanks, Rich, for bringing the donuts as well.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank
Very
you.
Nice. And Kim brought flowers. I'm going to open my present later. She brought me some stuff from Pastayo Villa Corta.
Yeah.
Danielle's place on Center Street where they make the homemade pasta.
Yeah, and Danielle might be our guest next Sunday.
There you go.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Kim's here.
And the venison was to die for. Except for now that I know that it's Rockport deer, I'm thinking, I wonder if it's one of the little deer
that ate one of your feathered friends.
One of the deer that I photographed.
Probably. You had a connection right there. You just ate it.
Yeah, I know, but it was
you ate Bambi. I was wondering the whole time I was preparing this, because I had this in my head. I wanted to have this food for you guys when you showed up. For 2 days now, and I was thinking, I I wonder if Kim's going to eat it. Because you're such a delicate, you know what I mean? Like, flowers and, you know, bees and stuff like that. I was like, I wonder if she's going
to
eat this.
I believe in the circle of life and hunting. I know how to shoot a gun. My grandfather taught me how to shoot a gun.
That's impressive. That's impressive. I like it.
I used to, my grandfather had a country house in the Delaware mountains. And so when I was six, we used to do, you know, target practice with tin cans and things like that.
Ah,
and then, but my grandfather was quite a hunter, and he would catch deer and also rabbits, all kinds of things. And then my grandmother would actually make things out of the rabbit fur and the deer hides and things like that. So
do they smell? The furs afterwards. Is there a way to get that smell out?
I have no memory of that whatsoever.
It's super soft.
I just remember my beautiful rabbit fur gloves that my grandmother made for me. You know, so and then my grandfather would make they would stretch the deer hide over the chairs.
So the meal consisted of the venison, and then we did some smashed potatoes.
Mm. And they were, I've been wanting to try your smashed potatoes because I've read
so much
about
easy.
Them.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
So we don't have a microwave. So I guess if we just parboil, if I try
you
to...
You can parboil them, but you have to, the key is to dry them completely before you put the olive oil on or whatever oil you put.
Okay, all right, good.
The oil, so you poke them with a fork.
Okay.
You get the smaller the potatoes, the easier to do.
Okay.
3.5 minutes in the mic or whatever, get them soft.
Yeah.
Then you put dry them, olive oil or canola oil or peanut oil, whatever.
Okay.
Nice heavy coating of coarse salt.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're doing it on a grill, not over the coals,
indirectly,
and don't take the lid off, leave the vents wide open and just blast them with heat and they crisp up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jeff liked them.
They're delicious.
Yeah.
They're really good.
You gonna try them at home for us?
Yes.
Jeff, do you cook on charcoal or do you cook on gas?
Gas.
Yeah, gas guy. So just make sure you have the burners going over here and then put the potatoes on the opposite side. Just let it rip. Probably about 30 minutes. You'll be in good shape. So this week is voting week. And we're not going to talk about politics, but what we are going to talk about, which I think is brilliant, the city, I got the press release on Cape Ann Community. They're really good about the city posts directly. I give them access to post directly there.
Right.
And then reblog it to the blog.
Oh, that's great.
Vote and Vax Flu Clinic on 11/8. Election Day, November 8th at Gloucester High School polling site. You can also receive your annual flu shot. Clinic times are 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. The clinic is open to the public. Please bring your health insurance cards. For more information, contact public health nurse Kelly Reese at 978-325-5266. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Very cool.
Knock out two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
And I love that whole idea. Except for the crazy people that don't vaccinate.
Mm-hmm.
And all those, we're not going to get into that's our annual
yeah.
It's an annual battle on the blog, the people that like, you know,
right, yeah. I'm a nurse and 2 years ago I actually got the flu because the vaccine that year
didn't
cover.
Didn't work, I remember that.
And he wound up taking me to the hospital week two. I was so ill.
Yeah, and you're a nurse and you hadn't taken
And I had the vaccine.
And you had
it. And I still got the flu because it doesn't always cover.
Right,
but they're saying this year that this should cover
this flu.
Hopefully we don't have any big outbreaks.
Mm.
We also have, I wanted to talk about, see the big pile of bags of coffee bags?
Yeah, tell us about these. I saw these when I came
8 o'clock coffee bags. Our friend Susan O'Leary, she's a friend of the blog. She lives in Magnolia, and I think she has a website, sassyechobags.com.
Okay.
And she, these, you know, Starbucks bags, any kind of like that hard aluminum foil,
yes.
I don't know what do you call that, plasticky foil container that people get coffee in. She folds them in a certain way and makes purses and handbags, and she actually then she'll sew them up north and south, and she does them in really cool patterns. So it's upcycling. It's all nice. They're not crazy expensive.
I could add my Starbucks bag that I just
shave them, and I'll say I have her come pick them up every once in a while. I have bags.
Okay.
And my bag, so my bags are 8 o'clock grind. I've talked about this on the not on the podcast, but in the blog.
I love to eat that coffee.
Well, I grew my Uncle Charlie. Jeff knows, probably knows this. There, in the mug up room, there was a huge coffee urn, right? The big, it's, you know, I don't know how many gallons that thing took, maybe 5 gallons or something. And you know, we had, I don't know how many, 60 women packing whiting, and some men, then the men that worked. And there was mug up, and my Uncle Charlie would, when we were really young, brought Frank and I to Stop and Shop, A&P, where Walgreens is now.
Okay.
And we used to grind the beans in the machine. It was like a kind of a treat for a kid. You grind the beans, bring it back.
And was that the end of the cash register, wasn't it, the grinders?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And it's cool, you know, you smell that coffee as a kid. That's, you know, it's like the first taboo thing is coffee. But we used to drink the coffee. Uncle Charlie, you know, we could drink the coffee. It was nice and warm. And so I've been drinking 8 o'clock coffee because of my Uncle Charlie since I was 9 years old.
That's awesome.
And it's inexpensive, but it's a nice mild. It's a nice mild breakfast blend, kind of. They use Arabia, I don't know if it's Arabica beans.
Arabica.
And the Arabica beans are a nice mild bean. Cool. And they're found in a lot of good coffees. So she gets my bags. If anybody wants to drop them off here, I'll collect them and give them to her too. So is that
good plan?
Recycle.
Yeah, upcycle. Right.
See,
good.
That was the deal.
So we're going right now. We're recording again. I just had to take a little break to take out some fish. Ian, you have a show.
Yes, I do.
At Rockport Art Association.
That's correct. Opening up on the 12th.
And the name is, where am I at?
Sarcadian Transparency.
And so what's it all about?
About a year and a half ago, I was challenged on Facebook to take 5 black and white photographs. And during that time, I was actually struggling with my photography. And 5 days, 5 black and white photographs, and I started really loving what it was producing, and I pushed it out to 365 days. And so now it's kind of like the wrap up of it, and I have a really neat show of 15 images of what came out of that 365 days.
Wow.
I think the struggle for me with the show was trying to find the
core.
Yeah, and the 15. Feeling and just. There was like 80 photographs that I loved. You know, it was kind of like
whittle it down.
Yeah, yeah, really whittling it down was really, really tough. Wow. So I'm trying to figure out a way now to, all right, got my pieces framed. Now how do I show the others, or can I show the others? Yeah.
Well, you have that website, and we should mention your website.
Yeah, so my website has them all. So ianvincent.com, and then on the right side you can search by. 365 series, I believe it is.
Yep.
And by that you can see all the images. But so they were all posted. But it was a really neat process. And remember the last time I came in here with that beautiful brass lens?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that actually,
you used it during this?
I started to towards the end, and but that this whole process actually got me to that place where I said, you know what? I'm doing all this really neat stuff in soft, you know, taking the picture and then in the soft or making these adjustments. And I was like, I really want to do this in camera. And that's what promoted, you pushed me to say, all right, what can I do? How do I do this in camera? And then I went out and bought that really neat lens.
Wow.
So
very cool.
Yeah,
and so but the show runs the 12th to the 23rd. The opening is on the 12th.
Yes. It's on the 12th from 2 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I need some people to show up to help me drink the wine, or else.
You know who you're going to get, right? You know who you're going to get. You know who you're going to get. When you say something like that, you know who you're going to get.
And the snack eaters.
The snack eaters and the wine drinkers.
But we love them.
We love telling the story. So when EJ had the gallery on Rocky Neck, we had an opening like every other week down there. And the same cast of characters, they'd be packed, and they would, you knew who they were, They make a beeline. You see them in the doorway in the distance. They make a beeline past the artist, past us. Don't even acknowledge anybody. Straight to the back of the room where the food and the wine is, and they just pound it down and leave without even acknowledging the work. So that's when you say, "Come help me drink the wine." You're not gonna have any problem with that because you get the usual suspects. Come help you drink the wine.
Can we edit that out now?
Yeah. Come drink the wine. We know, and you know who you are. That right? Yeah. Kim knows who they are.
Yeah.
EJ knows who they are. Ed Collin knows who they are.
Yeah.
We used to talk about it all the time. We used to talk. So these people think that they're being sneaky or whatever.
Something. Not
we like we talk about you. We talk about you not getting over on us. Yes.
No, but it should be a great opening. So, and I'm really, really happy with that. Finished framing it last night, and so just really felt
you said
good about it.
15 images out of 365 days.
Yeah.
So that is intense.
So is the 12th a Saturday or Sunday?
It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday.
Yeah, it's a Saturday. Yeah.
So I put together a calendar. I'm putting out a CDK calendar.
Okay.
And it's some of the images from down here.
Okay.
And I think I know what some of your challenges are. You have a lot. Some of your favorite images may have come from the same subject, but you want to broaden the appeal of what
people are looking at.
Because 15 out of 365,
yeah.
I bet you like, you know, this. Listen, someone could put together easily a book of images from the Good Harbor Footbridge.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
You know, at a million different angles, the light is different,
right.
The clouds, the storms, the this, the that. Someone could put together a 365-day, not a 15.
Right.
Yeah,
so
no, absolutely.
To keep it diverse and try to capture the best of images out of that, is a challenge.
I printed 40 images. And just kind of, you know, you're throwing them on the table, and that's the process you go through. It's like, you know, there were three shots of this pathway that I walked through in Waltham. And I was like, all right, which one of these three do I like the most? Because
you can't do it twice.
They're different, but they're similar enough to make you say, all right, but now you need it to work with the other grouping.
That's right.
So it's a fun part of the process.
Yeah. Anytime you can do something.
Yeah, and that was smart to print them to print out 40, because it would be very difficult to compare, I think, looking online and stuff like that. I think that was a good way to do it.
They also take a different life.
Yeah.
So you print them up, and they're 8x8, and they take a different life, or, you know, you may see the dark spaces or light spaces a little bit differently, and then that happens again when you throw it in the frame.
Yeah.
Do you use mats, or do you go right to the edge?
I use mats.
Yeah.
And I use 3-inch mats around the edge.
Yeah.
You know, so fairly deep mats.
And do you do like a little reveal around the edge? I like that. I like that lately.
No, I do not.
You don't?
No.
Yeah. I'm thinking about doing that lately. Yeah.
I want to do a plug to our friends because whenever there's an opportunity to plug our friends,
yes.
James and Anna Eves. Anna just bought all the equipment to mat frames. So if anybody has any framing needs, like any of us that have used their services can attest to how fantastic they are.
I'll just say this: somebody ordered 18 prints of the same image from me, and I just had them printed with James and Anna, and they came out beautifully.
Yeah, they're fantastic people. They, you know, beyond being good friends, the work and what they like. James is like, well, if you want him to tweak your image for you, and they're just. The service that they provide is
really outstanding.
So come down and drink the ginger ale.
Come down and drink. Eat the wine. Drink the wine and eat the cheese. The grapes and the wine. And
So you mentioned a calendar, a CD case calendar?
Yeah.
What's that? I don't...
So the images are four... So if you turn a CD case inversely, the images take up the whole thing, and then... The image goes behind. There's a calendar at the bottom and the image on top. Industrial scenes down here.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I've seen those before. It just flips around and it makes it a nice little stand.
Yeah, yeah. It's perfect for a desk.
Yes. Yeah, all right,
and it's going to be priced. It's a perfect Christmas present.
That's
price.
Cool.
You know what I mean? And they're easy to ship because you put it in a nice padded envelope.
Yeah.
So they're for the you know, fans of the blog or friends, whatever,
that'd be nice.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be good. Help pay with the cost of running the blog and everything else.
Yeah.
I have some other surprises too, but I can't reveal them yet.
Really?
I have some other surprises. Some very cool surprises.
For, nice. Now, this is for things that you're going to be selling for the.
Something's going to be selling, something's going to be giving away.
Okay.
But.
Okay, and this
I'm
is
really happy.
Nice.
Really happy.
Well, people should know that, you know, it is expensive to run the blog. And
the hosting has become
hosting
insane.
Is
yeah.
Very, yeah.
But, you know,
hundreds
whatever. It's
dollars
it's not it's that it's the time that we put in.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not getting paid for it. It's not it's it would be less than a penny per hour. You know, the after the
right.
you back out the expenses,
right.
you know,
right.
it's
the
not
expenses are
the people that you know, there's always the people that are going to say, "Oh, the only reason you're doing the blog is so you can make money on the t-shirts." And you want to punch him in the face. Because, you know what I mean? There's,
yeah,
they're just the most ignorant people in the world, you know. Or even, God forbid, you were making you know, good money on it, right? You're just like the people that would begrudge you that after knowing the hours and that you put in. You know,
yeah,
I don't need those people in my life either.
Well,
so.
one of my favorite comments that came back to us was that Joe is paying his contributors too much money.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. That was I know who that was. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're making too much money over there. So yeah, so there's that. I had another interesting. So we have to plug Hannah's new book.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Hannah Kimberly, Craig Kimberly's wife. She's a great friend of ours. She just came up with, she's been working on this book on Annie Peck.
Annie Peck, the explorer.
Annie Peck, woman,
yeah.
One of the most, you know, in the vein of Judith Sargent Murray, trailblazer and feminist, you
mountain
know.
Climbed
things.
Climbed mountain pants, that was like one of her, like no woman had ever done that before.
A laundry list of firsts for women and like a leader and everything else. So she has like a treasure trove of, she found this treasure trove of her correspondences and stuff like this.
Mm.
She has given lectures and she's been working on this book for years. It finally came out. James actually did the
cover. He did the cover.
I
think it was her dissertation for her doctorate, right? Wasn't it? Didn't it start out as her thesis for her doctorate? And then that led to the book.
Right.
Yeah.
I just saw them mention that the other day. I was like, that's so exciting when you see that, because you know how much they've been working. When you see someone like say that, it's like, oh, like, just immediately like can imagine the effort and time they've been putting.
It's her life's work.
Right.
It's
yeah.
it's literally her life's work.
Right. And also people should
so
know
rewarding.
It's not a self-published book. It's published by St. Martin's Press. It's not a self-published
real
book.
Deal. Yeah.
It's a real deal.
That's
so the difference between like self-published books are fine, but the thing with working with a publisher is you get the publisher behind you, and the publisher helps you with distribution, and that, you know, the publisher bears the initial expense. As opposed to with a self-published book. But the main thing is distribution. So the publisher will help, you know, distribute the book.
Yeah.
So my
first comment, well, you know, I shared it to my Facebook page, her post, saying, oh, this is the, what the quote was, the most... I don't know, something in the vein of the most fascinating women that you had never heard of. You know,
right.
It was like a complimentary,
right.
You know, like acknowledging this feminist thing, because she's really all about this feminist kind of stuff. And then, as a joke, I wrote, you know, so Hannah wrote back, you know, a synopsis of the book, a lengthy synopsis of all of, you know, a lot of her accomplishments and why you should buy the book. And as a joke, I wrote back, yeah, but how was she in the sack? Now, obviously, that's a joke. Now, obviously, you know, when you're talking about, you know, feminism and, you know, feminists, like the whole thing, I mean, that is an over-the-top, it's an obvious thing there, because...
You were trying to get yourself in trouble with that.
Oh, my God.
But it's a, I mean, but that's so outlandish of a statement that you... How can that be taken? How can that be taken as anything as other than an outlandish joke?
I can't imagine anyone saying that seriously. And like
right. I mean, but how? You know, you're not thinking of like an old lady, an old photograph, like
just joking.
You know what I mean? It's obviously.
So
it's,
what happened?
So obviously, you know, you get the women that want to be outraged about everything. You know, like I've got a few comments, and the old Joey would have just retaliated and said, "Are you serious? You're taking this like as a serious comment? You can't see the sarcasm in it." That's the old Joey. The new Joey doesn't have the energy to fight those battles. So I just deleted it, and I blocked the people that like, you know, that wanted to make this into a big thing. Because you know what? You can block people. So
right
fuck
on.
It. You know what I mean? Or like, you want to make this into a big thing, I'll just...
You don't need that.
I don't need that. But go by and check out Hannah's book because...
I think it's on pre-sale for Amazon. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah. There's links. We'll put a link. I'll make sure I put a link in the show notes. Yeah. Buy her book.
And the reason why you do pre-selling is because it really helps with... Show the publisher that there's a lot of interest in your book. Yeah. So that's why pre-sale.
And then they'll put them in more spaces.
They'll put more time and energy into it.
That's right. I got to buy mine. I haven't bought mine yet, but I will buy one. You know what? I'll buy one for my daughter. And they can share it. And then maybe they'll do a book report on it for extra credit.
That's fantastic.
Right? Yeah,
that's
there you
fantastic.
Go. Got that going for me. Kim. We were going to talk about this last podcast, and sometimes I space out, and sometimes I don't post my own, but I bring up my own topics. This is a topic you wanted to bring up last week, and it's very appropriate for this time.
It's appropriate for this time of year, so I want to talk about cleaning up your garden and the benefits of not cleaning up your garden. So it's very old school to think that you have to rake up every leaf and tidy up around your garden beds and cut everything down to little stubs and nubs in your garden. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why you don't want to do that, and the main reason is because of the pollinators. So when you see bees flying around, where do you think bees go for the winter? They they burrow into the leaf litter. They go underground. They don't just like all die and then are reborn again in the spring. So, and it's not just for bees, but also for butterflies. Butterflies winter over, every species of Lepidoptera winters over in a different way. Monarchs, for example, are neotropical butterflies, and they go to Mexico. But all the butterflies that are in here year round, they're not migrating butterflies. They either winter over in the leaf
sweaters.
Litter.
Sweaters.
Sweaters.
In the attic. Right? Yeah. And they eat up all, they go in your closets and eat up all your closets.
No,
that's,
those are
what's the difference?
Those are wool moths, and they are not even native moths. They are moths that were that came over from Europe. So most of the bad moths that we have, like the flower moths, the winter moths, the clothes-eating moths, they are all from Europe and Asia.
The winter moth is the one that in the last five or 6 years that you drive down the street and you look like a scene out of...
And
they're covering your screen door, right? You don't want to go outside.
No, those are very destructive. They've really invaded our area, and there really isn't a whole lot you can do about them. And the worst thing people do is spray pesticides to kill the winter moths, because it doesn't kill the winter moths, but it kills our native bees, butterflies, and moths. So we really just have to ride out the storm. One benefit of the winter moths is it's bringing a lot more songbirds into the air, because the songbirds eat the winter moth larvae in the spring. So it's the winter moth is supporting this. Like oftentimes you'll now, and I don't ever recall seeing this, like I'll photograph a picture of a song sparrow and there'll be like 20 winter moths hanging out of winter moth larvae hanging out of their mouth, and because they're bringing it to their babies to feed their babies. So
who would know.
But anyway, so to get back to why you don't clean up your garden, a lot of species of butterflies winter over as a chrysalis, And so when you chop down the stalks, you're cutting down the chrysalises and throwing them away. Oh. So you attract all these bees and butterflies to your garden, and then you basically kill them all. And then the same with ladybugs and other beneficial insects that eat aphids that are so destructive. They also overwinter at the base of plants. So all these reasons...
Where are those Japanese beetles? Where are they winter over? Those things are destructive.
Yeah,
those things eat the shit out of cherry trees.
You know how, you know, if you catch... So you know how Japanese beetles have the iridescent iridescent outer exoskeleton? Those create little flashes of light that attract other Japanese beetles. Mm-hmm. So if you are starting to have a Japanese beetle problem, I just manually pick them off and squish them in my fingers. Or you can have, my grandmother would have like a cup of gasoline, because my grandfather had a trucking company. So you would just tap the beetles into the gasoline and they would die. But this is before people just sprayed everything with pesticides. Because if you spray pesticides to kill the Japanese beetles, you're killing everything else in sight. So
interesting.
So you can just tap them off.
Drowning them in gasoline sounds violent.
She's squishing them with the fingers. It's like a horror movie.
It's actually very satisfying because it's so destructive. Or it could be alcohol.
Sick human being.
Or alcohol. So you put little cans of beer.
Oh, yeah,
and they drown in the beer cup.
That works.
I never heard that one. What does it say again?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Slugs.
Yeah. Slugs, and snails.
Yep. You just put little cans of beer out in your garden, and they go right for it.
You take a can of tuna, right, an empty can of tuna, and you kind of put it at ground level. You scoop out a little slug.
Oh, so you push it down so it's flat.
And then you put some beer in it, and they just are so attracted to it, they just come along and drown. And then another thing you can do for slugs is diatomaceous earth. Have you ever done that? It's like ground up. You can buy it in bags at like Wolf Hill, for example, and it's just ground up volcanic rock. And it works like little shards of glass. So if you have a plant that they're attacking, you just sprinkle the diatomaceous earth around the perimeter. The slugs try to get into it, and they get all cut up, and they can't make it.
So violent. I had no idea that there was this side of you. I had no idea there was this side of her.
The world of gardening is tough.
Scary. Wow. I'm nervous. What do you put in with the food that you give me? You shards of glass.
Pieces of glass.
That's why I had such... No, I was going to go gross right there.
Ian has a real gardening question.
Is there a mulching benefit also? Because from my the poor man gardener in my mind is, you know, I'll leave the beds, in the beds.
It's absolutely the best thing.
And then, you know, I figure, hey, nature's mulching itself, right?
You're absolutely doing the best thing, because as the leaves break down, it adds all kinds of nutrients.
Yeah.
So it's...
For the grass too?
No, not necessarily for grass. Like, if people have grass, they usually want the grass to look, you know, like grass.
Yeah.
So I would just recommend raking it up. And I mean, I try to get people not to plant so much grass and plant more, you know, wildflower meadows and things like that. But I was just going to say one thing about mulching, and now I totally forgot what I was going to say. But if I think of it, it's...
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Say, don't use the red mulch, because it's red mulch is obnoxious.
No.
Use the dark brown black mulch.
Yeah, no.
Orange mulch is for...
So inasty. But that's not what he was talking about. He's talking about using leaves as mulch to protect...
I understand. I completely understand.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying, from an aesthetic perspective, orange mulch is so cheese.
Wait, this is what I wanted to say. So then people say, like, when do I clean up my garden beds, right?
Yeah.
So the best time to clean up your garden beds is mid-April, when you start to see the bees buzzing around. That means they're coming back to life. They're out of their little burrowing and, you know, little nesting type of protective area.
So do you cut them? You cut them back at that point?
Then I cut things back, because it also just makes the plant healthier. So say you have, like, you know, say, oh, and the other reason why you don't, almost forgot this point, this is really important, another reason why not to cut back is that the seed heads provide food for birds.
Mm.
all winter long. So,
your perspective is, people need to understand this. Her perspective is everything revolves around the butterflies and the birds. So if you want to take care of the butterflies and the birds, you leave this stuff up. But right, if you don't give a shit about those, but you want your yard to look nice, you cut the shit down.
Yeah,
you clean
it
up.
You know, I want people to think about things differently. Listen, Joe, I want people to think about, because what looks beautiful, for example, after the snow falls, is a beautiful patch of coneflowers with snow all over it.
It is pretty.
It is beautiful.
Can I ask you about your necklace with the butterfly? Where'd you get that?
So when I was in high school, my mom gave me this beautiful 1940s Mexican clamper bracelet with swirly stuff on it. And ever since then, I've loved Mexican silver. So this is from, Tom found this for me. It's from Mexico, from about 1950.
Wow.
And it's really heavy. It's Mexican silver. And I always wear it around this time of year because of the Day of the Dead and
it's got some nice heft to it.
Yeah, the monarchs returning.
So it's stamped in the back. Can you ever read that?
It says Mexico 925. It says Dulce on it, which just means
sugar.
Yeah, it just means good. In Mexican, I think it means good.
Dulce isn't sugar? Dulce Vida? No, it's sweet life.
Sweet, good.
The sweet life.
Right, yeah.
La Dulce Vida.
So, and this, I believe, it's not a monarch. There's a special kind of swallowtail. I can't think of the name in Mexico. I think that's what, these are supposed to be like little swallowtails.
Very nice.
But I wear it for good luck for the monarchs.
Oh, there you go.
At this
beautiful
time of year.
Yeah. Cindy, you were telling me, you were telling us earlier about your dad, Jerry Greeley, who's 76 years young, was invited to South Korea and the people. Why don't you explain the story? They're paying for him to go there, right?
He's an Army veteran from the 60s, and so he was in the Army in 1965, the year I was born. So they've invited veterans back, ages 70. Originally, they invited older veterans, and they discovered that most of them were deceased. So they lowered the age requirement, and so Dad fell into that age requirement and thought, this is a chance of a lifetime.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going with 5 or 6. Mom isn't going. I said, why? That's a chance of a lifetime. She said, no, it sounds like it's a guide trip.
Oh, nice. Good for him.
So Dad's going. They're paying for his hotel stay, his meals, and touring.
Wow.
So going back to where he originated.
Now, who is they? The government?
Veterans.
Of course.
And the Korean government.
The Korean government, not the United States government.
No.
That's pretty wild, huh?
That is tremendous.
And half his airfare.
I wonder who put that together.
I can't imagine.
That's really amazing.
Well, hopefully our friend Dave, he does listen to the podcast, Dave
Yes,
Moore,
he does, intensely.
Right, and he is one of our biggest friends of the blog,
FOB. Yeah.
That's a term.
F-O-B.
You know, I was using that term freely with my daughter, and she's like, what is that term, Mom? And I said, it's friends of the blog. And she was like, what does that mean? She said, that's a term Joey made up. That isn't a real, social networking term.
Did you know that, right?
Yeah, I knew that in the beginning. When you started using it, I figured it out, but I'm like, I was like, does that mean son of a bitch? Or I don't know.
FOB. No. I think that's some of the beauty of the blog. It's like when, you've been with it for long enough, and you've heard, some of the insider stuff, and you see that, and it's kind of familiar to you, so you like that, right?
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah, FOB.
So to get back to Dave.
Dave Moore, married a South Korean girl.
A woman named Kim, also, I think, and so anyways, we're really hoping Dave is listening to this and will,
provide some guidance.
Some of the
good whorehouses he can go to. I'm just joking. It's a joke. It's a guide joke. I'm just joking. Aren't they famous for that over there? No, Bangkok,
no,
right?
No, you're thinking Thailand.
Yeah. Whole different thing. No, he's going to have a blast. But Dave Moore, I'm sure he could point him in the right direction.
Yes.
Some good restaurants and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a joke. We kid.
It's a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, it really is. I know, that's really cool.
Adventurous at his age. You know my dad, who's in the nursing home, and your dad is so sweet. He goes to visit and he spends hours with my dad. Jerry Greeley does. He is such a peach of a guy. But big regrets, his life lesson for you. My dad, for like the 10 years before, like as he progressively was getting worse, had told my mother he was going to take her to back to Sicily, where our people are from. To tell him, we're going to go. Got really bad, never went. He never got to take her.
Aww.
And regret. So
aww,
everybody, you have opportunities to do things.
Yeah.
Life is fleeting, life is short. So
I'm sure this type of trip for him will be very emotional too.
I think so.
Yeah.
I was telling Joey before that there's one photo in particular. All his photos are on slides.
Yeah.
Or wait, what was back then? Now we have VHS and discs.
It was probably slides. It was probably slides.
So
yeah.
He's taken a lot of his slides and converted them to disc.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's taken hours. My brother's helping him with that. But one of the photos is of him at 23 years of age, right? Graham's age now, 23 or 24, sitting in his office, wherever that was.
In South Korea.
As an army sergeant in South Korea. And he receives the telegram that you have a baby daughter.
Which
that
is you.
That was me.
Yeah.
And he returned from Korea when I was 9 months old.
Amazing.
So he missed the first 9 months.
Did you have that photograph?
That's going to be passed on. That is a cherished photograph.
Yeah,
that's
cherished
nice.
Photograph. So 9 months. So you could think about that. 9 months.
It's a long
time.
And my mom was home with two babies and a dog.
Wow.
While he was gone. Mm-hmm. And my brother and I are 18 months apart.
And was he home after? Did he return to Korea after the 9 months when he came back?
I don't believe so, did he? I don't think so.
Very cool. Jerry Greeley. One of the good guys.
I had some slides. I was my parents' house that, my mom moved. My mom moved recently and we were cleaning out the house, and so we had the projector and the slides. So I took all the slides. I must have like 500 of them. And there was, I ended up using a service called legacybox.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I figured I'd try it out. They had a deal going where pretty much they just, whether it's like VHS tapes or whatever, they ship you the box and you put whatever you want in the box. There's like limits on the amount.
Yeah.
And you just send it out, it's paid, and then you just wait. And it came back, and they sent me like a CD with all the images, and they came out. But I paid
awesome.
I think I paid $40, and they did 75 slides, but I got like 500. So I'm thinking about getting a scanner and trying it myself.
So wait, 5 slides?
75.
75.
75 slides.
$40 for 75, which ain't bad.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What was the name of it again?
Legacybox.com.
Wow.
They got a lot of deals going on.
I've used them also with the conversion of the 16mm films from 18 Haven, my website that you guys have looked at past. And so a lot of the 16mm films I've done through Legacybox. And they're a little bit slow, but the cost is
nominal
compared
to the amount of time that
and the convenience.
And the convenience.
Yeah.
How long do you think slides will be until something else comes out? We went from 8-tracks to VHS to CD. What'll be next?
I probably wouldn't put them
on
to CDs.
Everything on CD. Right. Now what? What'll be next?
The cloud.
I got them in the mail, and we had a laptop. We had a Windows laptop that died, and so we went out and bought a MacBook Air. We use
there's
iPhone
no place to
stuff.
Put a CD.
I got the CD, and I opened up the thing, and I was like, there's no CD player.
The new MacBook Pros did away with the SD card slot, which most cameras use that.
Absolutely.
Pretty bold move.
Very bold move.
I mean,
but most modern cameras have Wi-Fi now too, so that's what they're kind of running with is that
wireless. Yeah. Everything going towards wireless.
That's correct.
Television's the same way.
I was going to get a new computer, but then after speaking to the guys down at Mac Daddy, they were like, "Oh, we'll just help you rebuild your computer because no new computer is going to have a CD, a slot for a CD or SD." So that's what I'm going to do.
I mean, your transition is you can buy a $50. Adapter for your CDs, but still it's another thing
but
to have kicking around your house.
Right, but see, I do a lot of lectures with an actual projector because images project better on a projector than they do on a through a computer.
Yeah.
So I still need those CDs because I like to, you know, give the best lecture that I can, and that requires having a CD player.
That's
going through a projector.
Yeah. Apple, it's a very bold moves.
Yeah.
Very,
yeah.
Very bold moves with their just kind of.
Yeah.
This is the way we're going to do it.
Yeah.
They're dragging people along.
They're dragging people along. I don't like everything in the cloud.
I don't know. Like I like a lot of the stuff they do, and I don't know. I like my iPad. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I really like my Samsung, that big tablet, the huge tablet,
yes.
I got, the 19-inch.
Yeah.
Samsung Galaxy View, it's called.
19 inches and it's still a tablet.
I guess I'm not sure what they call it. It's a hybrid, but it has this kickstand.
Yeah.
And it's all pre-programmed, like Comcast. If you have Comcast, you can wirelessly watch.
Oh yeah.
It anywhere. It's $360 at Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
It's $500, but they have for some reason they have it for $360. And it is a great screen, and it's
I find yourself using that the most, like when you're home, like as far as like if you check an email or whatever.
Well, you know what I find we use it for is sometimes I use it to compose the blog and stuff, but if I get home from work and I've been working like an animal and I want to watch what's on television, I'll put someone else that doesn't want to watch what I want to watch can take that in the kitchen and watch what they want to watch.
Yeah, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
And so it's like a portable television. It's very, very cool. Very cool technology. For like if Apple came out with this, it would be $1,200.
You're right.
So so there's that. The Shipwright and the Schooner, The Building of the Ardell, is a collaboration between Harold Burnham, the builder of the Ardell, and Dan Tobin, we're going with.
Tobin.
Right? That's what we're going with?
Yeah.
Kim, what is that all about?
Well, it sounds like a beautiful book. Brian has been photographing the
Dan
building.
Or Brian?
Excuse me. Dan has been photographing the book since nearly the beginning of the building of the schooner Ardell. And
laying out of the stem?
Yeah. Of the keel. I'm not sure if he got that. I'm not sure if he was there for that part. I think he read about that part and then came on board. So, and then...
There's a November 12th event and reading at Strawberry Bank.
Bank in New Hampshire. So, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is just right over the border. It's beautiful. You guys have been there, right?
I have been with my mom. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful there.
Yeah?
It's like a series. Your kids would love it. It's a series of buildings with of different time periods. My kids loved it, especially like the 1940s, 1950s kitchen, and then they have interpreters taking people through. But and they also, it's surrounded by beautiful gardens.
Mm-hmm.
The second oldest stand of lilacs in America. Lilacs are, a lot of people think lilacs are native to this country. They're not. They came over with the Jesuit missionaries. The oldest stand is in Michigan. The second oldest stand is at Strawberry Bank in New Hampshire.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Very cool.
It's a very cool place. So their event is on the 12th also. Not to compete with your event.
Okay. Oh, same day, yeah.
I'm sure they have free
wine.
Free wine. The wine, there's going to be better wine than Ian's there.
Well, Ian's is free, and this is, I think it's $25 a ticket, but it goes towards the purchase of a book or something like that.
Gotcha.
So.
There's a great cormorant. Why don't you talk about the great cormorant? And what's the difference between a great cormorant and a regular cormorant?
Well, the cormorant that we see around here all the time, it's beautiful. It's black, and it has the orange little pouch under it. That is very common. That's the double-breasted cormorant. The great cormorant, which is what I saw at Niles Pond, and at first I thought it was like a penguin because I saw it from a distance. I was like, oh, because it was this time last year that I saw that amazing pelican, the white pelican, and I thought, oh my God, now I've seen everything. A penguin has come to Gloucester, and because it was sitting on this rock, and it has a white breast and then black back feathers. So when I got close up, I was like, it's not a penguin, of course, but it's some kind of cormorant that I've never seen before. And they breed, they're all over the northern Arctic and Europe, and they breed from Greenland to Maine. So they're not usually, they're getting, people are seeing them more further south as the population is increasing and growing. So, but it was quite beautiful, quite striking, and so it has a fully white. This was an immature.
Have you posted this? Have you posted?
No,
this?
I'm gonna put a picture up either tonight or tomorrow.
Okay,
tonight.
Cool.
Yeah. So for people to look at.
I'm dying to see what it looks like to compare and contrast.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, I didn't put it up right a photo up right away because I was looking for a picture of a double-breasted cormorant so people could see the difference.
Isn't this the time of year where we see right along the shore, you see the lines of cormorants migrating?
Yes, yep. And those are double-breasted cormorants. And they are,
they just go, and they just keep going. You're looking like this, it's like one of those motorcycle rallies where they just keep going and going and going.
It's
like, where is the end? You know, and they're migrating.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny that you said that because oftentimes when I'm, like, if I'm filming from Wingersheek Beach, looking towards the lighthouse, right?
Yep.
That's like the mouth of the river there.
Right.
So that phenomenon will happen where I'll just see millions and millions going by. And then this year I got, I got brave and I started exploring around the private end down by Coffins Beach. And because I thought they were kind of hanging around down there, they're actually going over to Cranes. Because when you're standing at the tippy end of Coffins Beach and you look over, that's the mouth of the Essex River, mm-hmm. and that's where they're all going. But then at night I see them flying back. So something's going on. They're not all just migrating northward.
Well, they must take a break when
they're
flying, though, right? They don't just fly straight.
Yeah, they're going back and forth for like a period of a month. I feel like they're sort of massing and getting, finding food to eat. And then at some point there's a mass exodus. But then we see them all here all year round. I mean, we see them here all winter too.
We talk about this quite a bit, and this week a couple of times, it always happens, we've been so busy. In the fall, it's the busiest time of year. In the afternoon, it's just insane.
Yeah, it's
we don't
crazy.
Have time to make phone calls or anything. Remember the murmurations?
Yeah, the murmurations.
Murmurations.
Yeah.
What kind of bird makes a murmuration? Was it starling?
The one that we're seeing around here, I think, is the European starling.
The starling, right?
Yeah.
Well, they've been In the afternoons, late afternoons, and it's always right over Quincy Market, and they fly out over the harbor and fly back in like circles, packs of. Do you know what a murmuration is?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so a murmuration is these packs of starlings, and they'll fly, and it looks like a
beautiful
bees and stuff like that, and they make like
warm and they're
and it's really it's like an artistic ballet in the sky. But they're
you're
again.
Seeing that a lot because I have some film footage from a couple of years ago, right? It was from this time of year when the mermaid of starling murmuration was taken.
There'll be a couple of times. There'll be like one or two afternoons where there's small packs right now, probably like 200 birds doing it, and when it's probably like 4,000 when it's like when they're all amassed together, and it. They put on a show for a good amount of time.
It's dangerous when I'll be driving down the highway and I'll see that and I'll get mesmerized. It's so crazy.
Yeah. Rich Bean. Talk about richbean.net. Richbean.net. Is .net, right?
Yeah, .net. Yeah, that's my website. I have some music. Yeah, I don't know if you knew that. I was a musician, that I play guitar, and I record my own music at home, and mostly for fun. Always been my hobby, and I started out playing guitar when I was young. I went to school for all that, and then I got into software testing for a day job. I'm still a musician, and I go there. I got music. I go from rock to heavy rock to electronic to a little bit of everything. So check it out. Yeah.
So you have a studio in your house?
Yeah, small like bedroom studio. Yeah, yeah.
What do you use for what do you mix all the sounds together with?
So I mostly on the computer. So I have a Mac, and
GarageBand, or what is it called?
It's kind of like that. It's called Digital Performer. It's kind of like a Pro Tools thing, if you've heard of that. It's like a multi-track software that you use, and then I get software synthesizers on there, and then I get a little mixer, and then I get some keyboard synthesizers that I attach to, and then I have my guitars and a bass. And so you can just use... use everything that comes with it.
Because I'll get start. We'll get started.
Yeah, so I use just whatever. There's lots of programs out there now, so it's cool. You can just put your own drum loops on the computer, and then you can add whatever instruments you want. So it's a lot of fun to work with. Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you. Have you heard that new Pretender song?
Yes.
Holy Commotion.
Yes.
And I wondered what you thought about the synthesizers, because there's so much synth. It sounds like. Sounds like kind of like an 80s song.
Oh,
I yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because I really like that song. They did a good job where it sounds really like, you know, I don't know their whole catalog, but I could recognize it right away. I was like, oh, that sounds like
That's her voice,
yeah.
Right?
Chrissy Hynde?
Yeah, she has a new song out, Holy Commotion, it's called.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah,
yeah, the music is great. It sounds just like, you know, it just kind of fits right with their time, it sounds like, yeah.
It's different. It doesn't really sound like their old stuff. But
it's a new twist.
Yeah, it's a new twist. But
is her voice recognizable?
Oh
my God!
Immediately,
you know, it's
words.
In one
yeah.
second.
Yeah.
1 second.
It's great. Yeah,
she's just an amazing voice.
The lyrics in her voice are amazing. Yeah.
She's very cool. Well, there you go. We got a Gloucester cow. I'm gonna eat a donut right here. Rich Bean. But where did you get the donuts?
Oh, Jim's Donuts.
Jim's Donuts. Thanks. Thanks. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. Did you? Was there a connection? Jim Donuts. Jim's. No?
No.
No. Donut Jim's used to be, my grandfather, his grocery store was next to, I think he owned the building where the first Donut Jim's was.
Oh, really?
There was a yarn shop there before that. And then they knocked down a lot of those buildings. Now there's that gray kind of Donut Jim actually put, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 units there.
Yeah,
right across from
condos
the,
or something.
Yeah, I don't know if they're condos. I don't know.
What are they?
Must be condos. I don't know. But yeah, there was a big block there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
My grandfather had a grocery store, Pat Center Grocery. It was on the street where, is it Tedeschi's now? Tedeschi's,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's a key shop there, a barber shop, and the Midori restaurant. Right?
Yes.
So the building was on the street.
Oh,
and then they knocked down that building when my grandfather sold it, and they pushed the building to the back of the property so that it would be all the parking in front.
Oh.
There's a big parking area behind my grandfather's store. No one knew about it.
Right.
For retail, you want that visible parking.
Right? Yeah. But that was I think it's so much nicer when the parking's in the back and the storefront is right.
It is aesthetically,
yeah.
You know, nicer,
yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
for a convenience store.
Right.
Is this popcorn? I remember you talking.
Joe Popcorn, yeah.
Yeah, I remember you've mentioned that before. Yeah, did he have like popcorn in the store or something?
No, he didn't have. He started out selling popcorn in a cart on the boulevard.
Okay.
And then he did a slush, and then he had the grocery store, and then he filled the big draggers, the fishing boats. He used to take, you know, they had 7 to 10 men crews, and they were so tired all the time. They just call in their order. He would put all the groceries, the deli meats, the meats, the chicken, the produce, the canned goods, the milk, and he would lump it down on. And they back then, 100-foot boats or 80-foot boats, they would tie up 6 abreast. They didn't. No one had, like nowadays, these small fiberglass boats that you could move around by hand pretty easily. They all want to have their own. Like marina spot with their own dot, you know, all walk all the way around their particular boat and not tie 2 abreast or anything, never mind 6 abreast. They used to tie 6 abreast.
Wow.
All in Harbor Cove, and he used to like carry all the boxes of groceries and put it down into their fish hole back then. So he had that, and they had a grocery store, then they added a liquor store into that space, and he used to work like a million hours, you know. They used to close at the end of the night.
And your grandmother worked there too. They both
right side by side, and they had 5 kids, so a lot of work there. Yeah, so they go. Gloucestercast 207 is in the books. It's November 6th. Please subscribe. Look, there's a blue button on the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends. Thank you guys for coming in. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.